holds you secure. The other thing that they use an anchor for is actually when they're out in the ocean in a storm, they'll drop the anchor so that the boat doesn't get tossed as much. It actually holds the boat in place as it goes through the waves. So it's a cool picture of the hope that we have in Jesus as our anchor, the promises of God that we have in our life. It holds us through the tough stuff that we all face. All right, and it holds us secure. And when we trust in Him and we stay close to God, it actually protects us too from the storms that go on around us. And the fact is, I don't know about you, but as a kid, and I know I was reminded again, I mean, every time we go near water with my kids, they want to throw sticks in the water and race them. You know, when you're at a creek and you're standing on a bridge or something, they always drop the stick in and then they see whose goes through the bridge the fastest. We all have that, you know, but it doesn't take that much stream. It doesn't take that much current to actually drift quite a ways pretty fast. And we think oftentimes that, oh, I need to be anchored because, you know, the big storms. You know what? Life will drift you away unless you stay anchored in Jesus. Unless you stay anchored in His promises, stay anchored in His presence. Amen? It doesn't take long if we let the fear and the anger and the bitterness and the struggles and the stuff that we face to actually start to pull us away from Jesus. Unless we anchor ourselves in Him and put down our anchor and say, I'm staying here in Your presence, God. All of a sudden, if we're not careful, we get anchored in fear. We get anchored in anger. We get anchored in bitterness. And that's all we see, because we get stuck there because we allow ourselves to drift there, and then we stay there in that place. We don't want to forgive. We don't want to forget. We don't want to move on. We don't want to love. We just want to, these people make me mad, and I stay there. You ever been there? I have. Okay, so the next picture. These links on this anchor, they're over 500 pounds each in that chain that hold the anchor in place, all right? The bigger the vessel, the bigger the anchor you need to hold you. The bigger the life, the fuller the life that you want to have, the bigger the life that you want to have in Christ, the more anchored you need to be. The more you want to minister, the more you want to change people's lives, change the world, the more secure you have to be anchored in Him. Amen? Next picture. This is one of the biggest anchors in the world. They changed the design, but it's still the same idea. It's meant to grab on and hold. And hold you. Hope is the anchor of your soul. When we lose hope, we'll never reach the destiny, we'll never reach the dreams that God has put in our heart. When we lift up anchor, it's easy to lift up anchor and just float. It's easier than to stay with your anchor down and say, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay close to God. I'm going to stay in His promises. It's easier to just lift up the anchor and just say, well, wherever life takes me, I'll go. Today is a bad day. Today is a good day. Whatever it might come. But when we stay anchored in Him, there is a hope that we carry that does not matter what the storm, how bad it's raging out here. I trust in Jesus. I hope in Him. I have peace in Him because I'm anchored to Him. Does that make sense? When prayer takes longer to be answered than we think it should, when we face stuff, we need to be anchored to Him. To keep trusting, to keep holding on, because it's easier to just give up. And it's easier to just doubt sometimes. Ah, God, I guess He didn't care. I guess He didn't mean that. I guess whatever, right? No, you have to stay anchored in Him because He means what He says. You remember Hebrews 11? Faith is the hope, the substance of hope for things unseen, right? Faith and hope go together. We often talk about, I don't know if you've noticed in the New Testament, but the phrase faith, hope, and love go together all the time. And it's three virtues. You've heard it probably at almost every wedding, end of 1 Corinthians 13. It says these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. You see, Paul talks about it all the time. You can't have faith without hope, and you can't have hope without faith. And love pulls it all together. But if you don't have faith, then you have nothing to hope in. And if you have no hope, why would you pray if you don't expect God to move? If you don't expect God, if you didn't have a hope that God was going to speak to you today, I doubt you'd be here. Right? And even sometimes, I remember, you know, being in Africa, and it takes your saying grace when you pray over the food to a whole nother level, you know, because you don't actually want to die from whatever you're about to eat. Some things look pretty sketchy, but you know, we take it for granted every day, you know, like, oh, Jesus, thank you for this food. But, you know, even that, even though there's a little bit of faith there saying, still, God, I know you're going to protect me. You're going to nourish my body from this. Those little prayers, they still count. But you need hope with faith. We talk about faith a lot. We talk about love a lot. We don't talk about hope that much, but you need hope. It is the anchor to your soul. It holds you secure in him. David said, why so downcast, O my soul? He even talked to himself sometimes and said, hope. He had to keep his hope in the Lord no matter what he faced. You may not have a reason in the natural today to hope, but spiritually, God tells us, keep hoping in him. Keep hoping in the promises. Keep trusting in his word that he has laid in your life. Joseph was falsely accused. If you know the story of Joseph, he was falsely accused. He was sold by his brothers. He was put in a pit. He ended up in jail, falsely accused. And his attitude never let go. He always trusted that God was in control and that God was with him. And he ended up from the pit to the palace. And if he had lost his hope, he'd have stayed a slave. I really do believe. But he trusted in God, and God honored him for his faith in him through that journey. My hope is in a God who takes a person from the pit to the palace. My hope is in a God who heals broken bones, who raises the dead, who heals the sick. I've seen him take spines that look like this and go like this. We've seen people with, I mean, all kinds of messed up things going on in their body, and God heal them over and over. That's who my hope is in. I don't know about you, but my hope is in Jesus, because he's our healer. I've seen him protect in the craziest situations, him break through and protect people from harm. That's the God I hope in. I've seen him provide peace in my heart when it is a mess all over around in my life, and I don't know what to do, and I'm maybe freaking out or afraid or stressed or whatever it might be. Probably some of you have been there too. And in those moments when I've learned to say, Jesus, help me, and his peace comes, that's the God I trust in. Because it doesn't matter the storm that I face, I know I can put my hope in him. David was a little shepherd boy, and God used him and promoted him because of his heart for God to become king. God used a boy who was rejected by his father for the most part. He was not even lined up when the prophet Samuel showed up and said, where are your sons? He was left out in the field, probably because he was actually an illegitimate child, all right, born out of another, from another lady. And God used him, an untrained warrior, to defeat Goliath. That's the God I hope in. For Abraham, there was, I mean, he was, what was it, 99 years old? And God promised him a baby, a son. That doesn't make much sense, but Abraham had faith. He trusted in him, he held on to that, and he became a blessing to be a blessing to others. You guys with me? God could have used a soldier to shoot an arrow and killed Goliath. But then everybody would have thought they did it. So he took a little guy, a young guy, untrained warrior, with some rocks and a slingshot. And he killed probably the most fierce warrior in the world at the time. And you remember David's attitude? I come to you in the name of the Lord of Israel. Look out. Because he had a hope. You know, it would have been pretty easy for David to show up and be like, nope, I'm not fighting that guy. I'm going back to the sheep. It's quiet with the sheep. There's no stress with the sheep. There's no pressure. The whole army is here. It would have been easier. He could have just lifted his anchor and gone back to what's comfortable. But he said he knew in his heart he had a hope in God and who he was and his nature and his character, and said, God is with me and I will not stand for this because I know who God is. And I know who God is in me. And look what God did in him. Sometimes it's easier to just say, meh, I'm going to go back to what's comfortable instead of what is God putting in front of you to do. Joyce Meyer says, if you hope for something your entire life and never got it, you'd still be better off than if you hope for nothing and got it. Hope makes you happy. Jesus was born to give us hope for forgiveness and redemption. Benji yesterday, he played in a hockey tournament. They played 3 hockey games. They lost all 3. In fact, sometimes it's good to lose. It teaches us a lot. But I've never played a game that I didn't hope to win. I don't know about you. But I hope to win everything I play. And I hope to win in life. I hope to win as being a parent. I hope to win at being a husband. I hope to win at being a father. I hope to win at whatever I put my hands to. Because I want to succeed, because that's who God made me to be. That's who God made you to be. God made you to be an amazing grandparent. To be an amazing spouse. To be good at what you do. Whatever career he's put in front of you. He's given you skills and abilities to do with your hands, feet, your mind, your heart, whatever it is. He's given you that ability. So hope in him. Hope in the skill, the ability, the call, the dream that he's put in your life. It's not by accident. It's amazing how good Goliath can be and how big he can be when we take our hope off of Jesus and begin to hope in other stuff. You know how easy it is to start hoping in our bank account or our retirement plan or our spouse to take care of our needs or our friends or whoever it might be. And you know how bad we fall when we put our hope in those things? That's a setup for pain and disappointment. But when we take our hope off of Jesus and onto whatever's around us, Goliath gets really big in your life, and he looks really good. Trust him. Trust Jesus. Put your hope in him. By the way, I have enough notes for like 3 sermons, so it's been on my heart all week, and I just keep, you know, writing stuff down. Romans chapter 8 says this. Patience basically says patience is the proof of hope. Did you know that hope often comes out of struggling? Isn't that good news? When God came into the world, he chose a virgin who wasn't married, and he didn't even bother booking a hotel room. And yet he used her. And she said, what did Mary say in response to the message that, hey, you're going to have a baby and you're not married yet? Surprise. She said, may it be as you say, Lord. But you know, as soon as she did that, you know what she had to do? She had to face her fiance that all of a sudden didn't want to marry her anymore. Yeah, that's not fun. All of a sudden, you say, okay, God, this is scary, but I'll do it. And the next thing you know, the person you're supposed to be spending your life with is like, what? Get out of here. God had to send an angel to rescue that situation. Joseph, wake up. This is not, she was not being unfaithful, right? You know the story. When Israel came to the Red Sea, I mean, he could have sent them around. He could have protected them some other way. No, he put them through it. When Gideon faced an army, I mean, he could have used the 30-some thousand people they had, but he whittled them down to 300. Why? Because he was basically exposing the root of hope. Do you trust in God or not? Do you trust that God is able or not? Because, yeah, he could have done it a different way. He could have. But then you wouldn't have thought it was God. You would have thought it was you. You know what happens sometimes in life and the stuff we struggle with? Sometimes God's saying, do you trust in me? How deep down do your roots go? In faith, in hope. How big is your anchor in me? Are you staying secure in my promises that I am faithful, that I'll never leave you, that I'll never forsake you? I'm preaching it myself, okay? Because this is hard. When you're in the middle of the storm, I mean, often all you see is the waves. But when you're held on to him and held anchored in his promises, and you're in his presence, and you keep turning your eyes and fixing your eyes on Jesus, you can make it through. How is your hope when God seems silent, when there doesn't appear to be fruit on the tree? Hope is beneath the surface. It's not based on what I see around me right now. I hope and know securely that God is with me, that he's for me, that he'll never leave me. I want to read this out of the Passion Translation. It's Romans chapter 5. You can put it up there. It's I don't have it in the Passion up here, but I'll read it to you. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. You are declared flawless in his eyes. That's a really good promise. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God. Again, I like that. All because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into the marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance, and patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Our hope is in Jesus. I mean, you can put your hope in a lot of things, but if you want hope that lasts, you want hope that actually you can bank on and count on in your life, it's that Jesus is with you, that he's in you, that he will not leave you. Amen? Colossians chapter 1, your faith and love rise within you as you access all the treasures of your inheritance stored up in the heavenly realm. For the revelation of the true gospel is as real today as the day you first heard of our glorious hope, and now that you have believed in the truth of the gospel. This is the wonderful message that is being spread everywhere, powerfully changing hearts throughout the earth. Just like it has changed you, every believer of his good news bears the fruit of eternal life as they experience the reality of God's grace. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Jesus in you, the gospel, the good news that you have received in your heart that changes everything. And when we put our hope in Jesus, we can make it through the storms. And we can stay and continue to grow. Are you okay? Rick Warren says, this is what happens when a culture forgets God. And he quotes Job 8:13. He says, those who forget God have no hope. And he says, wealth is idolized, truth is minimized, life is trivialized, abortion legalized, TV vulgarized, everything sexualized and commercialized, advertising sensualized, our consciences have been desensitized, education secularized, races polarized, politics polarized, immorality popularized, sports scandalized, morals and ethics liberalized, drugs legitimized, sin glamorized, courts paralyzed, breakup of family is rationalized, Christians are demonized, God is marginalized, and there's no wonder that a lot of people in our world don't have any hope. Does that sound familiar today? In fact, if you were to poll people in our country, many places in the world today, I would say that a lot of people don't have a lot of hope, because We tend to put our hope and our in something greater than us, right? And when you don't know God, you look to the government, you look to what you can, the economy, or what you can do for yourself, and that may be a bleak outlook right now. So I just want to talk about hope for a couple minutes before we close, just specifically what it is. You know, hope is not just wishing for something. Many people think of hope as it's like optimism, right? I just hope that the light turns green today because I'm late for work, you know? Biblical hope is a lot more than that. It's different than optimism. Hope is theological, optimism is psychological, all right? Optimism is not always seeing reality, it's just, well, it's not so bad. You know, like when you get the bad report from the doctor, you think, oh, it won't be so bad. Where hope is, it's bad, it's really bad, but I'm going to still trust in Jesus, that he's going to get me through this. I mean, yeah, you understand. Optimism works on things that I can control, right? But hope, everything can be out of your control, but you hold on. Jesus, help. We have expectant hope. Hope that basically works like, well, you know, I planted seeds in a garden. I've watered it. I have an expectancy that something's going to grow. Not a guarantee, though, is it? It's like a farmer every year when they seed their crop. They hope. But there's no guarantee rain comes. There's no guarantee that a fire doesn't come. There's no guarantee that somebody doesn't drive over your lawn and wreck your garden, right? Like, we have an expectancy. We have a hope in those situations. We expect something to happen because we've done something. So we have a hope. But there's no guarantee in that kind of hope. You can't build your life on wishful thinking, on the hope that, you know, I just hope something good happens at church today. I hope that tomorrow I win the lottery. And I hope that, like, you can live like that, but it's not going to get you through. The Bible talks about a certain hope. And again, that scripture in Hebrews 6, 19. You can anchor your soul in that hope. It's not wishing. It's not based on feeling. It's not based on expecting. It's, you can take it to the bank because it's the Word of God. It's His promise for you. It's His nature. It's His character. It's who He is, that He will not leave you or forsake you. It is one of the great virtues that the Bible says we need to have is hope in Jesus. A hope that holds on to faith. A hope that is filled with love. A hope that goes before us and that we hold on to all that God is. When we're like that, when we hold on, it keeps us from being a negative person. I don't know if you noticed that, but it's hard to be negative and critical and judging when you're hopeful. When we're anchored in the hope of Jesus. Otherwise, it's easy to start seeing things through our negative eyes and secure ourselves in that. And all of a sudden, every time something comes up, that person, or, oh, yeah, I don't like that, or, oh, yeah. And it's easy to just get on that train, isn't it? Everything's negative. But that's not hope in Jesus. Is this making sense to you guys? All right. I want to read you a few scriptures, and we're going to close. Hebrews chapter 10. I think I got this one up there. If not, I'll read it. Hebrews chapter 10. And since we now have a magnificent king priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach Him with an open heart, fully convinced by faith and nothing that nothing will keep us at a distance from Him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience, and now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. That's why we take communion, all right, to celebrate what Jesus has done in us and through us. So now we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps His promises, all right? How many times is your... Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. How many times have had someone, you know, maybe made a promise to you and not kept it, right? You can't bank on another person keeping their word, but you can bank on God always keeping His word, always keeping His promises. He never lies. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. There's something about when we gather together, our hope builds, because I hear about, hey, God did this in Vicky's life. That's amazing. It builds my hope. God set you free. That builds my hope. God healed you. That builds my hope. God provided for you. That builds my hope. So what Paul is saying is you got to get together and celebrate and rejoice in what God has done so that you build one another's hope. That's why church is important. We need to be here because we need each other. We honestly should be excited about church. I hope you are. I know when I come, I expect God's going to do something every time we gather. I do. And I love hearing the stories of when, oh, I came and I was having a bad day, or I came and I was hurting and whatever, and God set me free. God spoke to me. God showed me He loved me. Listen, God loves it when we gather together and we come to celebrate. He responds to that. But it also builds our hope so that we can make it through this week. Because many times, lots of us are alone in a lot of ways throughout the week. And you need that hope. You need that anchor to carry you through. Isaiah 43. Those who what in the Lord? Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Sorry, Angela. I put a lot of scriptures on there. And I didn't know which ones I was going to use, so surprise. Those who hope in the Lord will rise up on wings like eagles. They will renew their strength. They'll run and not grow weary. Walk and not grow faint. Anybody tired after Christmas season? Anybody been feeling pretty stressed out? Anybody glad it's like, okay, back to some routine, whatever? Put your hope in Him. I want to read that. Can you put that Hebrews chapter 6 back up? And we're going to read a big chunk of that. And then we're going to end. So Paul, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds, placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we'll move forward to further understanding. So he's saying, let's grow. Let's keep going. You've been taught about this stuff, and it's time to get on to more spiritual food. And so, if you jump ahead a little, it says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for other believers as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. All right, so having hope is linked to you being passionate for God. Again, being anchored in His presence, being anchored in the hope of Jesus. And if we lose that, we easily can drift away from our passion for Jesus. And it becomes easy to, well, why would I go to church? Well, why would I go to a Bible study? Well, why would I read my Bible? Why would I even pray today? It's easier not to. Okay? Make sense? So then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in His own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently and received that what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. Do you ever notice that sometimes people that don't believe in Jesus use His name more than we do? Yeah. Do you know that swearing is actually just a form of an oath? And the reason they use Jesus' name is because whether they realize it or not, there's power in His name. Did you know that? And we naturally want to take an oath in someone that is greater than us, right? It gives you authority. It gives you backing. It makes you come more powerful. Have you ever noticed that when somebody comes swearing and mad and yelling, they become more intimidating? They appear more powerful, right? Well, it's just simply, there's power in the name of Jesus. And they'll use whatever name they have to, but that's why many times people will use that name. They don't recognize it, but in here there's something going on. Use it as a swear or not. Anyway, keep going. And without any question, that oath is binding. God has also bound Himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that He would never change His mind, okay? He never changes His mind with the promises He makes with us. So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. The Bible talks a lot about hope. And I want to tell you this morning that if you are struggling, if you are frustrated, if you are battling different things, put your anchor down in the hope of Jesus. Our hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus. And I hope that your hope is Jesus. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to set captives free. Jesus came to heal the sick, and Jesus came to raise the dead. Jesus came to show us the Father's heart. He came that we might have life and life to the fullest. Jesus came that we could be overcomers. Jesus came that we could be adopted and have an inheritance with God. Jesus came for the broken, for the poor, for the lonely, and for the outcast. And Jesus came for you and me. Jesus came that we could become royalty. Jesus came that we could go from being called a sinner to a saint, that we could be an heir to the throne, that we could be adopted as his children. Jesus came so that we could be healed. Jesus came offering a gift and bearing a promise. Jesus came so that you and I could be forgiven. Jesus came so that we could be restored. Jesus came to secure victory over sin and over death. The victory has been won. And if you're a believer, he's in you right now today, and he's alive in you, and he has won the victory for you. Jesus is changing you, and you can trust in him and all his good works in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He's alive in you. He will never leave you. Jesus will never reject you. He will never give up on you. You cannot make Jesus stop loving you. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." They're good ones. He's got a good plan, a good hope, and a good future for you. Jesus is my hope. In every situation that I face, Jesus is my hope. It's his word, it's his promise, and that's what I have to stand on. I can't heal a disease, and I can't make a job appear out of nowhere, and I can't fix my spouse, or I can't, whatever the stuff is that we face, you can't, there comes a time and a place where you can't do it on your own. You need Jesus to work in you and through you, and you have to trust in him that he is with you, that his promises are true. You know, I remember my ankle, when I went to that specialist in Saskatoon, and he looked at it and he said, "We've done every test, and I can't see anything in the ultrasounds, the x-rays, the MRIs, the CTs. There's nothing there that shows that I can do surgery on, but I'm looking at your foot and it doesn't work." When he says, "I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do." And I remember after whatever it was, like 5.5 years or something of pain all the time, like I had tears coming to my face because I had lost hope at that moment. I was like, "What do you mean there's nothing you can do? Like you're the top foot specialist," my doctor said. And he's going, "Yep, that's it." And in that moment, I was like, "God, I don't want to live like this for the rest of my life." And you can ask my wife, she didn't enjoy it. It was hard. It's hard when someone you love is in pain all the time. And so honestly, this is what I did. I had days where I lost, where I lifted my anchor and was like, "This sucks." But I also fought hard. And every time I thought of it, I started on my iPad, I started downloading books of just scriptures on healing. And I would read them every day, every time I'd think of it. And it got to the point some days where if I felt pain, I started speaking a scripture out or muttering under my breath that by his stripes I am healed, that I will see even greater things than what Jesus did. And I would start to pray those over my foot. And did I see anything happen instantly? No. Took a while. But I hoped, when I would do that, it started to build hope in me. And I would remind myself, "God, I've seen you heal my burned hand. I've seen you heal so many different ways. I trust in you, God. I know that you're a good God. And right now, this doesn't make sense, but I trust in you." And then out of the blue, nobody prayed for me. And he says to me one night when I got off the couch and went to get a drink before going to bed, it was 3 days before Caleb was born. And he said, "I'm going to heal you before your boy is born." Random thought out of the blue, and I was like, "What?" And sorry, I tried to cry. It's his goodness. And I continued to hope in him. I would have not made it to him being born. I mean, it wouldn't have been the end of the world, but it was amazing. It was a gift that God gave to me and said, "Here, look how good I am." And so I will not stop hoping in him because of his goodness. And I know that many of you, I have not faced many of the things that you've faced. You've faced rejection. You've faced the loss of loved ones. You've faced, you know, different things in your life that I can't even imagine what you've gone through. But I can tell you that when you put your hope in God, he will not leave you. He will not reject you. And it might not look good right now, but just let your anchor go down in him, below the surface, and hold on. Hold on. And I do believe that there is coming freedom. You know, we talk about seasons. This shall pass. There is a new season coming. And he is faithful. He does not, he turns ashes into beauty. And he sees your heart, and he sees your cries, and he sees your struggles. And you might say, well, God, I've been praying for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Yeah, I know. Keep going. There is precedent in the Bible that we pray and we pray and we pray some more. In Luke 18, Jesus said to his disciples, don't keep praying and don't ever lose hope. Don't give up. And he talks about how the lady who went to the judge and she kept nagging him until he responded. There is precedent in the Bible. Elijah prayed for a boy to be risen and then he had to pray again. Don't be afraid to keep praying. Don't be afraid to keep taking these promises and saying, God, you said. When you have hope in Jesus, it gives you the right to interrupt the devil and say, but God. Because right now, whatever might be happening in your life, and you can step in faith and say, yep, but God is with me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And it shuts him down. I'm just going to invite Juan and Justin, if you guys don't mind coming. I remember my mom, before my life really got turned around, before I had that encounter with God that changed everything for me, my mom felt led to fast and pray for 40 days. I've never managed to do that. Like, I have not tried making it that long without food. But my mom felt like God told her to do it. She'd been praying for years that I would smarten up. But you know, she kept hoping and she kept praying and she kept trusting in God. And I hope that's an encouragement to you that, you know, maybe your kids, your grandkids, maybe your relationship with your spouse is not good, whatever. And you've been hoping and you've been praying and you've been wrestling and waiting on God. Just keep going. Just keep going. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. What's that scripture? I think it's Romans 8, that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him. If it's not good, it's not the end. Did you hear me? If it's not good, it's not the end. See, because here's the thing. The hope is that even if death comes, everything is made new in him in the end. No more pain, no more sickness, no more anger, no more bitterness. We have a hope in Jesus. The good news is that when we trust in him, when we build our life on him, he provides for our needs. He provides what you need today. So if it's a job, if it's peace, if it's rest, give it to him. Hold on to his promises. This is a new year. This is a new decade. This is a new season. And what I want to encourage you to do this morning is to just take some time and to just say, God, I give you everything. I need a fresh start. Maybe you don't. Maybe things are good. That's awesome. But the stuff that you wrestle with, I encourage you I shared this last week, draw a line in the sand and say, God, I'm not giving up hope and I'm not going backwards. I'm going forwards. You know, we are made to see ahead, to go ahead, to push forward, because we're not made for retreat. Because guess who's got our back? Jesus. Jesus has your back. You're made to advance. You're made to go forward. And so I pray that as you look, you know, I'm praying for clarity. God, what are you leading me to? What are you drawing me into in this next decade? What is it that I'm to pursue? What's your dream for my life? And I pray that you would press into what is it that God has for you? Listen, the past is the past. And some of us need to leave the past in the past and just say, God, I give this to you. I don't want this to wreck the rest of my future. Because it can. If you just want to keep dragging it, it'll pull you. But if you put your hope in him, he has good things in store. He causes good things, turns all things to good for those who love him. So can we pray? God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Jesus, that we have a hope in you. And I thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to worry about anything because you take care of us as your children. God, that our hope is in you. Our future is in you. Our destiny is in you. I thank you, Jesus, that you never leave us, that you never reject us, that you never walk away. God, I thank you that we can look to you. We can lift our eyes to the hills and say, where does our help come from? Our help comes from you, God, the maker of heaven and earth. You are the one who never sleeps or slumbers, but you watch over us continuously, God, that you care about everything that we face. So God, we look to you and we lift up our needs. We lift up our challenges. We lift up the walls that we face, God, before you and say, Jesus, come. And we're going to continue to hope and we're going to continue to fight and to press in and to hold on through every storm. And we're going to keep our anchor down so that we don't drift into dangerous waters of losing our faith and losing our life and our relationship with you, God. But we want to stay solid. We want to stay anchored in you, Jesus. So help us, God. Help us to hold on. Help us to make it through. God, just like the Israelites going through the Red Sea, just like David taking on Goliath, God, help us to face the giants in our life with you and to know that you are with us, to know that the victory has been won, the battle is the Lord's, and we will not give up. We will not give up. We will not grow weary in serving you. We will not grow weary in doing good for you, God. We will keep pressing on. We will keep going forward. We want to grow beyond where we're at. God, we want to step into new things, new seasons, and the new life, the fullness of life that you have for us. So Jesus, help us. Help us to have faith. Help us to trust. Help us to open our heart to your love and not be stuck where we are, God, but to say, I'm thankful, God, that today is a new day, a day that you have made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it because you are with me. That today when I get up and I face the challenges I face, God, that you are walking with me, before me and around me, that I do not have to be afraid because I have you. And I stand on those promises in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to open the altar if you would like prayer. But otherwise, God bless you. Have an amazing, wonderful day. There's lunch downstairs if you'd like lunch. But I encourage you, don't run away if God is tugging on your heart. If you need a fresh breakthrough, would you just give it to him this morning and just say, God, have it.